The Bad Batch is not wasting any time here. Omega was captured, Crosshair was captured, but we resolved this by episode 4, only a quarter of the way through the season, with one last scene. If they had gone to Pabu, giving Fi a hug and a kiss, the clone cadets are there, you know, we swell into the ending. That would be a happy ending.
Everyone to Krypton to Alderaan. I'm Joey, your Star Wars lover, and with me is Royish Goodlooks.
Hello, podcast. Hello, Joey. I'm back.
Welcome back. We were all concerned. We didn't know where you were, especially me. I did a whole episode. I said, where's Royce? And he wasn't here. And we're the podcast that analyzes nerdy pop culture stuff, but it's mostly Star Wars. But today we'll be taking a different approach.
Oh, see what you did there.
Just kidding. Same old approach. But first, some very important news. We are almost to 500 subscribers on YouTube. And if we get to 500 subscribers, we can become YouTube partners and start to earn on our channel, which will help us to continue to create content, really increase the incentive for us to keep making content, to make more content, to doing so much more with this channel. It's pretty exciting. It should also be said that it's like a huge morale boost for us. We were doing this when we had no subscribers. Getting close to this milestone is really something exciting and humbling and something that would really take Krypton to Alderaan to the next level.
Joey, I can't believe there's 400 people that have clicked that button listening to you and I chit-chat about Star Wars and occasionally not Star Wars. So It's pretty remarkable, and we appreciate everyone's support here on the channel, whether you're just tuning in and dropping some comments or just listening, or if you do happen to be subscribed. And if you're not, help us get to this 500 subscriber mark. Be part of the 500 subscriber club.
Yes, yes. Be part of it. Tell your friends they could be part of it. So please, please do that. And also, comment with your thoughts on this episode. We will want to hear all about what you thought of a different approach. We have some ideas. We have some thoughts. We have a lot of feelings coming up and maybe some hot to tepid takes. I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Hot take.
Let's get into it. Punch it. Okay. Episode 4 of season 3, a different approach. We're back to Omega and Crosshair. Royce, this is already so much more comfortable of a conversation for me because I really don't know what to do when I'm just talking to myself about this stuff. Knowing that you have caught up with both the premiere episodes and my little breakdown review analysis of the premiere episodes with a different approach, I want to kind of talk about like what this episode did, I guess in general, but what it also did based on like what we've seen of the premiere. It's only episode 4, so we kind of have a lot to go, but it seems like in these 4 episodes, we have resolved the cliffhanger of the last season. And now we're like officially after this episode, getting into the real story of season 4, right?
Yeah, I think the Bad Batch is not wasting any time here. Getting to something else, something bigger, you know, what's next to come? I don't know, because we've resolved, like you said, the major conflict of season 2. Omega was captured. Crosshair was captured. We need to reunite them. And what do we do in episode 4? That we're already reunited. We're a happy family again. I don't know. We'll talk about that, I think, coming up. But at least they're off of Tantus. They're on the same remote location with Wrecker and Hunter, and something else is to come. Yeah, we resolved this by episode 4, only a quarter of the way through the season. We didn't save this for a big mid-season finale of like Hunter and Wrecker mounting an offensive on Tantus. We thought like, we got to storm the castle. When in fact, Omega could handle breaking out of Tantus while Palpatine was there. It's just kind of wild. I didn't expect that. The way that they set up episode 1, especially, was like, I guess Omega's just going to be, you know, imprisoned here and they're going to put her to work. And they were making that seem like she had been there for a while, especially when they broke off for episode 2 and we caught up with Hunter and Wrecker. And you had mentioned this on your episode that it was maybe weird to jump to them and not continue with Omega. But then when we come back in episode 3, you know, you see that Omega's hair has grown, time has passed, so on and so forth. And so I was imagining like she was just going to be there, you know, waiting for for help, for rescue. Kind of like with Andor, Cassian in the Andor series, like being in prison. Like, how long is he there, right? How much time has passed? When's the opportune moment for them to break out, sort of thing? So it's kind of almost paralleled with that a little bit. Yeah, I'm kind of blown away that everybody is back together again. It almost felt to me like if they just did the little Disney zoom in, the little crop in, like they did in Mandalorian, with one last scene, if they had gone to Pabu, right? They met together, cross-dissolve into them jumping to hyperspace, landing on Pabu, giving Fi a hug and a kiss. The clone cadets are there. You know, we swell into the ending. We get the trash in the camp score. That would be a happy ending. We could have just had a four-part, you know, mini series here. Yeah. Four-part. I love it, Joey. I love it. What do you think?
I think that by the end of this season, by the end of the actual season, I think that is where I will have wanted things to end.
Right.
I will have wanted things to end here. Like, next time I watch this series through, I'm going to stop there and just be like, and they lived happily ever after on Pabu. So I loved this episode. I freaking loved it. I texted everyone that I know after it was over, even people that don't watch Star Wars, and be like, I freaking love this show. But my first thought was like, this would have been good as like the fourth of a four episode premiere. Like if they did those three episodes plus this episode as the premiere, and then we picked up, I would think that would have been very efficient. I'm not complaining. That's not a complaint. That's just like the feeling that I got. Like this was a good bookend on the premiere. And now we're moving into the actual season. So let me ask you this. Do you think that they did this because there is something bigger? Like, is this purposeful? Like, my knee-jerk reaction to you saying, like, it would have made sense for this, or it kind of felt like a mid-season, whatever, mid-season episode or mid-season premiere. Is it purposeful because they already have plans for the mid-season thing, and they already have plans for how the rest of the season will go? And so this is like the least important, or one of the least important things that's happening this season, right? There are bigger blockbuster events to happen as the season goes on. I presume it's just not going to be them all on Pabu and Crosshair complaining the whole time and Omega being like, well, stop wasting time complaining. I loved that. I loved that line. I loved that scene. Anyway, what do you think?
Yeah. So OG fans of Krypton to Alderaan will know that I love the golden era of Fox Broadcasting, 24, Prison Break, The OC, and Prison Break specifically reminds me of some of the stuff that's happening in this season, where the first season of that show,
they broke out of prison.
They break out of prison.
Check.
But they break out at the very end of the season. But there are several attempts through that 24 or 22 episode. It's a very long season. They try to break out several times and they fail. So I was actually kind of worried that they were not going to make it out, right? That they were going to get recaptured. That would have made sense to me on a cliche level if we were going to just drag out the prison escape, but they didn't do that. I do worry that there will be, you know, if they get recaptured at the mid-season and then they still need to be broken back out. I don't want to like flip-flop back and forth. Like you said, is there a different approach? Is there a different plot that we can follow? A new plot, a new story, a new theme? I think one of the biggest things they continue to pick up on is the, you know, I'm not leaving without you. We don't leave our own behind. Omega says this 100 times to Crosshair. And even at one point, Crosshair says something similar to her. That's part of the Bad Batch. That's part of the clones. I'm hoping that the bigger thing is them storming Tantus and rescuing more clones. And, you know, let's find a bigger bad to fight rather than being recaptured. But Hemlock is after Omega. So that's obviously part of the plot still. They want to get her back.
She has the key to replicating the genetic M count without degradation. So, you know,
they need her. She's obviously integral. That's the thing. So Omega, I think I forget the exact quote, but she says something like, we have to go back for our brothers or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got the, we have to go back, right?
Yeah.
She made it out, but she knows that there's still more important things at Tantus that they just can't walk away from it, which is also fascinating that she might willingly go back knowing that they want her for nefarious purposes. Like, is that a sacrifice they're setting up that Omega is going to be completely selfless in, you know, giving herself up to free the rest of the clones that are there, or Nala Say?
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. But that might be doing more harm than good, right? If she does go back.
Right.
We're in speculation territory now.
Crap. We said we weren't going to do this off air, but here we are.
Ludicrous speed. Go. The idea that she might return selflessly might have a worse impact, because if the Empire does get their hands on her, which it seems like, you know, we're setting up the cloning that the Emperor wants to do. So if she does return to save her brothers, then the possibility of them getting her hands on her and using her the way they want to use her is higher than if she just stays away. This is kind of a good thing to analyze, I think, for us, because there is this like moral question. I'm the key to this thing the bad guys want. To save the clones, I might be endangering the rest of the galaxy, right? So what's the solution? It's a trolley problem, right? Kind of like, what is the solution to that? And I think that's a really interesting thing we'll see play out. And I'm hopeful that there is thought given to this, that they don't just go like, okay, we're back, we're collected, we're going to gear up and go. I hope there is this conversation of these like morality questions of, and I think Crosshair will be the one to bring this up. I think everyone, and well, maybe Hunter too, because he doesn't want to lose Omega again and stuff, but actually maybe this is what will help them all bond. But them being like, we can't go back, right? You're too important. You're important to us. They obviously want to use you. You're special to them for some reason. And for Omega to be like, no, we have to save our brothers. And we get that Jurassic Park 2 moment, but this time with the clones and not the animals on Lao. So yeah, I love that. And I love this train of thought. I'm stoked to see that play out. And again, I think this is going back to another kind of like theme of this episode and maybe this season of this show, or maybe this show in general, and that like, it is heavy. This is a heavy show. It's not like fluffy times and fairy tales, a Star Wars story, right? It's like super heavy. There are these like morality questions. This episode was so brooding and dark and serious. That's the right word, right? Like the only comedy came from little moments of Crosshair and Omega's like dynamic. And then maybe like one thing at the end with the stormtrooper getting blown off of a pillar or something. But anyway, it's a far cry from like some of last season. I know we're only four episodes in, but you know, we haven't seen the sun really once this season.
It's been very gray, both thematically and visually. I was getting a lot of some more parallels with the Kenobi series of when Kenobi's kind of being hunted and he's on the run, he's trying to hide and, you know, he's putting on the overcoat or whatever, you know, trying to stay out of sight. That felt a lot like this when they were trying to hide, you know, from the officer and they're putting on disguises and they're trying to get credits. Like that whole, wasn't that Kenobi too? He was also trying to get on a transport to get out. It was like, it's almost the exact same plot line from that series.
Yep. Yeah, when they change clothes and Omega's like, see, isn't this better? And Crosshair goes, no. And she just sighs. It's so good. Not only is the comedic timing good, but their dynamic is just so good. Shortly after that is when they decide to go into the parlor to gamble. And he's like, the longer we stay here, the more at risk we are. And she's like, well, then stop wasting time complaining. Like, she is the leader. She has been the leader through. She is the reason they escaped. And she's like taking control of the situation. And even he, like to the person in charge, he eventually says, like, my skills here are being wasted, right? Instead of just like doing what he wants to do as the soldier, he still has a very like ranking mindset, militaristic ranking mindset. And it's clear that he thinks Omega is the one in charge. And because she is, but he even like appeals to her for the mission objectives. So yeah, very good. And I wanted to talk with you about this because I talked about it by myself last week. But I wanted to get your feel for their dynamic because I am really loving their dynamic. It is just so fun. And it's something I never really expected us to get to see.
I know. I wanted to see Omega and Wrecker having a ball.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of okay with Omega and Crosshair because they obviously have the kind of polar opposites. Crosshair is a cynic and Omega is an optimist. That makes for excellent storytelling.
Yeah, it's a very odd couple.
Exactly, right? I love when they meet back up with the Imperial commander guy and it's clear that they're caught and Omega says, okay, we'll try it your way. And then Crosshair unleashes the pew-pews. So everybody gets kind of an equal footing. You know, Crosshair was rolling his eyes at Omega's strategy the whole time. I didn't remember the line of his skills are being wasted, but that makes so much sense. He's going along with it, but he's like, this is a dumb plan. Your escape was a dumb plan. This is a dumb plan. Yeah. Let's just shoot up the place and we'll head out of here. But he gives her the respect of sort of following her orders, which is really interesting in that instance. But then he gets the let loose on him. Omega steals the ship and they're still a great team.
And he lets her pilot the ship. He gets in and he doesn't take control of piloting the ship. He gets in and he says, let's see if your takeoffs are better than your landings or whatever, which is another funny. They're just so damn great together. But he doesn't come in and be like, move over, right? She is still in charge. And really, I did not notice this until the line, until he says, you know, okay, but my skills are being wasted. I really love that moment. And it's after he's come back for her. She gave him the out, right? She gave him the credits and she said, go, if you want to go, I'm going to go get Batcher. And then he chooses to go get her. And actually, when he makes that decision, we have a little musical cue. We get a little bit of lighter music in that moment as he's like deciding what to do, which I really love. But then he goes after her. He says that line and it's like, oh, he believes that Omega is the superior officer here, which I really love. This show, again, has turned me around on a character. I talked about it in my episode. The end of season one, it didn't end well, in my opinion. Because of the ending of season one, I wanted Crosshair to kind of stay the villain. And season two really didn't do much to improve that for me. But this is incredible. The amount that they've done in just a short amount of time with that character, with seeing him in jail, with him telling Omega, don't risk anything for me. Right? I belong here, or I deserve to be here, whatever he says. And then to this, and it's just kind of completely turned me around. And maybe I'm very susceptible to things like that, but also, damn, that's good. And I really don't mean to get ahead of myself, Royce, but this is really working up to be my favorite Star Wars thing. I don't know. It's very good. Oh, it's just so good.
I totally agree.
With Crosshair being the cynic, right? Grouchy old man. And Omega being the optimist, which is great because she really, like, she has very little reason to be at this point. Really, like, she was in that prison for months. Anyway, it's also easy to see Omega affecting Crosshair. Not only affecting, but infecting Crosshair with this. Yes, he turns around and goes back for her, but he also ends up having some very human moments throughout this episode. Well, more towards the end of this episode, really. And I think that that's just such a testament to the impact that Omega can have. With this episode, between Crosshair and Batcher, who are kind of running parallel storylines here, I really want Omega to get through this and then become like, start or join the path or something like that. That's like something beneficial to like wayward souls traversing the galaxy that need someone to help them figure stuff out. She domesticated this hound. She adopted this dog, they're best buds. She frees the animals. She wants to go back for her brothers. She's obviously having an effect, a positive effect on Crosshair. And now she's bringing him back to the family. And this is what I want for Omega in the future. But I just noticed these moments with Crosshair in this episode. And it was so good, especially when they're on the ship before they reach Hunter and Wrecker. And she says that she sent him the transmission and he gets very somber. That's a moment where he and Batcher are both in the same scene and they both kind of look the same. Like she says they sent the transmission and they both kind of like hang their heads low. I think really reflecting their parallel storylines. But then he says, you know, Omega, it's been months. They might not be alive. And it felt so much not like he's afraid for them to be alive because they might not accept him. And more him being like, I'm going to be sad for you if this doesn't work out. Right? Like he's trying to comfort her. He's like, returning to being one of her brothers, which I really love.
Is he going to end up being the only father figure left for her? Oof, sort of thing?
That's bad. Oh, no.
But like you're saying, he's kind of the reluctant
yeah.
father in that position, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So you're asking if instead of like Wrecker and Ventress and Omega touring the gap, we might get Crosshair and Ventress. Actually, Crosshair and Ventress, probably a great team. Probably a good 1-2 punch. My point is, I love their dynamic.
I agree. And I also, I don't want to derail any further, but I got a lot of parallels with like Hurley and Sawyer from Lost. There's one scene in particular in Lost. Oh. I don't remember the full context, but Sawyer and Hurley are trying to like communicate with somebody else or they're walking somewhere. I think like the radio's not working. So Hurley throws the radio and he's like, well, we better get going. And Sawyer's like, going where? And they're just not on the same page. But Hurley's like, we got to go forward. And Sawyer's not happy with the plan, but they have to work together. So that's kind of the yeah. Crosshair Omega thing. And I have to bring up Lost because it's obligatory on Krypton to Alderaan.
Every episode, at least once. Hit that subscribe button if you want to hear us talk about Lost at least once. I love that because Hurley is my favorite character from Lost.
I mean, it's the same dynamic, right? He yeah, loves everybody,
100%,
right?
Yep, 100% the same dynamic. And also, I'm really attracted to, not to put these characters in, make them very one-dimensional, but more often than not, there is like one character that kind of embodies the conscience of the group. And I think that's changing for the Bad Batch because of Omega. But Omega is the kind of conscious catalyst for the group, which I really dig, which I also think that Hurley was.
Well, and then in the epilogue, Hurley is there. He's the caretaker of the island.
Yeah.
Not to parallel Bad Batch with Lost, like verbatim, but, you know, the clones are learning to live after war. When you're no longer a soldier, what do? Omega is, she wasn't in the war, but now she's kind of dealing with the aftermath of the war, and she's still going to have another, you know, epilogue of sorts when she's not saving all the clones, or if saving the clones is the end of her story, or if she moves on from that. Your job is not to save the clones. Our job's not to fight a war. We have to move on. They're going to explore this, I think.
Yeah. Very excited to see where the season goes. Story-wise aside here, one of the things I really loved about this episode was that it was incredible to look at. It's a cinematic masterpiece, this episode. I don't know if the animation is just like exponentially better than it has been. I mean, it was good to begin with, I thought. But damn, this episode just looked so good. From like independent character and character movements and stuff to just like the broadness when they're like doing full planetary shots and stuff. What did you notice of the production?
There were a couple of scenes when they were doing the letting all the animals loose and the chaos was ensuing where they had like motion blur on the camera, or if it was just like the heat from the ship or something, like it looked like, you know, you were actually filming something. Not that the animation looked like lifelike, but the style that they were animating, like it looked like as if you had a camera there, which they probably want to create that effect, but it looked fabulous. When they show the remote location wherever they go to, and there's like three planets in a row, like that was some
so good.
Epic classic Star Wars cinematography of, okay, there are planets in space, but the way that they did it just felt so, not that you haven't
beautiful.
Seen it before. Yeah, it was just yeah. beautiful. It was just so well done that you're like, this is great. I love this. You mentioned on our trailer kind of preview before the season started, like it makes our eyes happy. Like it did. I was yeah. like, this is freaking incredible. Storyline aside, it's just, it looks great. Man, they just do a fantastic job. That last scene in general was the one that really sold it for me. It's been great throughout, but then leading into the conversation that they had there, they set that up perfectly. They're out in the middle of nowhere and there's such a grand, I'm moving my hands around all on screen. We got to start filming these Zoom calls, but
we do.
They showed yeah. you such landscape leading up to that conversation, which maybe was a theme there. And Joey, I'm still at the point when I talk Star Wars with people that I say, have you seen any of the animation stuff? But now I need an extra tagline that's like, if you haven't been watching because you think it looks like Legos, it does not look like Legos. I know that that's been a barrier for some people, including myself, but that's not the case now. So you've been sleeping on it so long that you don't realize how awesome it is. I'm with you that we can continue to wave this animation flag in people's faces. I hope that we don't alienate more of our friends and family because of this, but it's incredible.
I have moved on, honestly, and Bad Batch just keeps reinforcing this. I have moved on to just telling people that animated Star Wars is my favorite Star Wars. The Bad Batch is some of the most beautiful storytelling and like production that I've ever seen. And this episode is just like peak that. This episode is the peak of both of those things in this show. I should have started with that at the beginning of this episode, but I watched it twice, both times. Well, first of all, both times it ended, I was in tears. But apart from that, both times I watched it, I was like, this is a masterpiece. Like that is the only word I know how to use to describe this. Storytelling and visual production and the music, of course. But yeah, for anyone, and I really think we need to stop having these conversations. First of all, like animation styles, that's so subjective, and like people like Resistance, which I also like Resistance, but the animation style is very different. Like early Clone Wars is what it is and stuff like that. And they couldn't change it too much. And Rebels picks up a little bit on that. This is something completely different and it just looks incredible, but it's also like heavy themes. We're talking about these like trolley problem level morality questions that are coming up. And it's very dark and gritty. It's not like what you would think of as maybe like classic animation comedy. The comedy here was strictly based on like the dynamic between this old curmudgeon and this like young optimist. I just think that's great. And of course, then we do get to the end where that emotional storytelling, where like we should start to have a ticker on this show for the amount of times that I say I love emotional storytelling, but I really do. And the end of this episode is the most emotional that I have gotten at this show. And it was incredible to see. She sends the transmission. Crosshair is like, they might not be there. She exits the ship and Wrecker walks up to the door and says, like, now there's a sight, and they run towards each other. If you don't feel stuff when that happens, that is incredible. And like I said, it affected me both times I watched it. And up until now, I'm not sure that there is a line I could pull from any particular episode or any season, but the line, we crossed the galaxy four times looking for you, and then from the background, Hunter says, five. That is something I will never forget. That is a line that will live in my head rent-free. It is so incredible. It's affecting me right now while we're having this conversation. That line is so good, and it's so impactful, and it's so like they're reuniting, and it's just so meaningful. Oh, I love that. That is something that I will remember and probably quote for a long, long time.
Tell me how you really feel.
I have lots of feelings.
Well, so I'll pick up on where you left off, because I agree with everything there. I crossed the galaxy four times. Yeah, we have to fit that in a lyric somewhere. And as long as we end the line with galaxy, I can rhyme that with destiny, prophecy. Yeah. It's endless, the rhymes. So thank you, Bad Batch, for the inspiration. But what you've left off is that then they do the dramatic reveal that Crosshair is there. We obviously know, but Hunter and Wrecker didn't know. Which, why wouldn't they leave at the same time? I've tried to get away from pulling up these gripes on Krypton to Alderaan in the last year or so, but you wouldn't dramatically reveal that. They would leave at the same time and they'd say hello and it would still be awkward, but that's for storytelling, that they bring out Omega and then Crosshair. Yeah. Same thing with Padme and Obi-Wan, you know? Liar! You brought her here! They would have come out together and said, come to your senses, Anakin. But
oh, can you imagine if they came out together, though? That might not have been good.
I don't know. And I've admitted on this podcast, I don't know how to write stories, but those are dramatic reveals, right? So Crosshair comes out and nothing is exchanged. Mm-hmm. Or they just exchange looks?
Mm-hmm.
I'm phrasing that rhetorically, but I kind of need a confirmation because now I don't want to get played into the
comments.
No,
that's it. That's all there is. And Wrecker and Hunter are both like staring at Crosshair and Omega's kind of going back and forth.
Oh yeah, Omega's on the other side. They're kind of separated.
Omega is now with Hunter and Wrecker and they are all facing Crosshair. It's a very like standoffish ending to the episode, actually. And the music changes as soon as Crosshair is coming down and there's a big like, there it gets like much more heavy. And so it's a very standoffish thing at the end that kind of made me feel a little uneasy given everything else that had happened, because it's more like Omega is now back on Hunter and Wrecker's side and they are like apart. Crosshair is on the other side. And I know that that's something that they're going to have to address, but it was a very uncomfortable feeling because of the time we just saw Omega spend with Crosshair. I really thought she was going to go back over there and like be on his side facing them, but there's a line in the sand there. So yeah, nothing's exchanged. There's no like, Hunter says, how did you escape? And she says, I had help. And then we see Crosshair descend. They haven't even seen Batcher yet. Wait till that reveal.
Yeah, that dramatic reveal. That's funny. And one more thing. I think they'll probably have a conversation on the next episode, unless we, for some reason, do a side quest with Hemlock or the Emperor or something. But they'll probably resolve that pretty quickly as well. Because, of course, they're going to want him on the team. And Omega and Crosshair have been bonding and trusting each other and on the run together. And they couldn't have done it without each other. And Omega intentionally tried to escape with Crosshair to save him, right? I wasn't going to leave you behind. Crosshair has been saving Omega. So I think that whatever bad blood is there, they'll probably work it out. But it's really interesting that they chose to end the episode on that sort of like ominous tone, like you said, you know, droning out on a string or whatever, not fully giving you that happy ending. They could have done the Lando Han Solo, like, you got a lot of guts coming here after what you pulled. Yeah. But they didn't do that. Or like with, or maybe not exactly paralleling with this, but with Mando, when he comes back to the covert, he blasts the turducken or whatever, the big Blastoise turtle monster thing.
Oh my God, that's so annoying.
But he saves all the other Mandos, and then they're like, but you're still not in the clan. You're like, I just saved all you, though. Aren't you not appreciative of that? And I kind of feel similarly with Crosshair. Why would they give him any kind of guff after returning or helping to return Omega.
Well, he has been trying to kill them for a long time. He did kind of like turn a giant spaceship's engines on while they were inside in order to try to kill them. So that would probably put like a lasting damper on their relationship. But, you know, it's all in the spirit of redemption.
I do remember that. They're setting up the redemption. So they have to work through that. I'm curious if they just don't. Would they not accept him?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a test. I also, like I said last episode, I think there's also this like fear in the back of my mind that he might be some kind of sleeper agent because of the re-education on Tantus. We see him come out of like a room with a bunch of other defected clones. At the lead of that is one of those clone assassins. And then Hemlock says something like, he has proven resistant to re-education or something like that. So are they trying to like create these sleeper agents because they know that there is a clone rebellion going on? And could the danger of Crosshair could we not be out of the woods of that yet? So I'm also still not 100% on board with like completely trusting him, but everything that happened this episode, they are really like I said, changing my mind on the character.
I imagine him telling his story about what happened in the Outpost episode and him being able to explain to them, like, it's not good what they're doing. And I understand why you chose the path you chose. I don't know if he would apologize or what, but expressing some kind of regret for his choices.
Yeah, it seems like it really feels like the only stick in the mud would be Echo. And that's, I'm only saying that because Echo's always a stick in the mud, but like Rex is trying to get as many candidates as he can to like fight this fight, right? And Echo's going to be like, this guy's been trying to kill us the whole time. But Hunter and Wrecker just want to go back to Pabu. So we'll see. I bet we're going to see.
There's 8 episodes left, so it could go anywhere. All right, listeners, let's keep this conversation going. We would love to hear from you. Leave your comments if you're here on YouTube and hit subscribe and help us to get to 500 subscribers. We would love to have you back or hit us up wherever you like to social media. We will be back next week with more conversations on The Bad Batch. Thank you for listening to the show today. I've been Royce.
Hey, guess what? I've been Crosshair.
And we've been
Krypton to Alderaan.